Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord again, everyone, and welcome to Apostle Floyd's hour, in which you get the opportunity to hear me talk about some things I believe that God is doing in this hour, and definitely reference to what season we are in. We definitely honor the Lord today. This is Thursday, April the 30th. God, you know, we are at the end of the fourth month of 2020, in the midst of what some call a pandemic, but we're about to enter into the fifth month of the year. And that is amazing. You know, we have lost a lot of lives, and I know a lot of focus is on the 60-plus thousand that we've lost here in the United States, and some people here in the U.S. have lost people out in other countries, you know, according to the virus. But there are also those that are going on and passing on, or passing away, I should say, and that are going on with the Lord that have not been virus-related. And so as much as we focus on the pandemic, there is a lot of things that is going on. And so we just want to dive into a subject matter that's been going on for the last few weeks. And before we do that, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank thee, O God, for your greatness. God, we thank thee for grace, O God, and your graciousness, O Lord. Father, we ask, O God, that this night, Father, you bring more and more clarity to your people. Father, as we talk about you, there is nothing biblical that we can discuss, Father, that the books that the early writers have given in this transcript that does not focus on you. Lord, even in the hidden books, O God, it is a focus on you. And so, God, we don't want to make what we're going through about us. We are selfish. We have dug into our own places in life, and some have stuck their heads in the sand, Father. Some are hidden, oh, Lord, but God, fear brings torment. So God, we really want to hear from you, regardless of what man does or what man says. We need to hear from you. We need your guidance. We need your protection. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. So, dear hearts, we have in the last 3 weeks, we have discussed the cease of the Lord. Some are called the feast of Israel or the seven feasts of God. And so the first feast being, and I want you to write these dates down. They are particularly important. According to the Jewish calendar, right, I'm going to address some things. According to the Jewish calendar, the actual feast of the Passover was on the 11th, okay? It was on April the 11th. The Passover feast started on that Thursday. Okay, they started the Passover feast on that Thursday, and it was said that Jesus was actually crucified on a Thursday, not on a Friday, and the Sabbath being Saturday, right? And so for religious and customary reasons, we pushed that over to Sunday. So we've been there. On Sunday, the 12th was actually the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in which that feast goes for 7 days. 7 days, God commanded the children of Israel, you know, would remove leaven from their houses, and they would not cook with it. It's a representation of sin, right? So this was then, children of Israel removed the leaven. It was a representation of sin. And because if you read in the book of Exodus, chapter number 13, it was discussing the exodus or the exiting process of the children of Israel being delivered, set free, and leaving the place of bondage. And so now we call Egypt the world, and the children of Israel, you know, God's people. So the separation that God made, if you read Exodus chapter 11, he made a point of a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. So we made reference to, again, that the Egyptians is the world, children of Israel are God's people. So the feast starts on the 8th. The actual Feast of Passover is on Saturday. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, sin is beginning to be removed for 7 days, is on that Sunday, that next day. The following day is the Feast of First Fruits. Now, this would happen as they have entered into the place that God had promised them, the Promised Land, right? Feast of First Fruits. So now I want you to grab a hold of this. The Feast of First Fruits is a part of the harvest, because the following day that the feast first starts, there are 49 days, 7 weeks, in which the harvest now has come. And so they start this process of taking in the harvest of everything that they had grown, right? So I want you all to grab a hold of this now. Sometimes we don't really dig off into things the way we should, and we leave people with questions and no one to ask those questions to. And so that leaves them walking away. And the only way you can really grab a hold of things is that Spirit of the Lord speak to you in reference to these things. So you have your chronological clocks. Feast of the Passover started, according to our present day calendar, April the 8th. The feast, you know, of Passover, the Passover, the actual day is on that Saturday, not on a Sunday. It is Sunday that the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts for 7 days. But on that Monday, the next following day, on that Monday, is when the Feast of First Fruits began, right? So some of these feasts are connected and overlapping each other, but I want you to grab a hold of this now. There's a reason behind this. And so there are instructions that God gave. We talked about the Feast of First Fruits last week, understanding that you are the first fruit, and that they're supposed to bring the first fruit to the priest, and he would take and make a wave offering before the Lord, meaning what they brought the priest was now brought before God, which would say now, in this present time, first fruits is not money, because you're not waving money before God. There is nothing to wave before God that the priest can grab and raise and wave before God now. Not who we call pastors and priests, and we need to gain a bigger understanding of who they are, what they do, right? But that priest would take what the people bring and offer it before the Lord, because there's an altar built. I want y'all to grab a hold of this now. Some things we don't go in detail and in context with, and to give you a better understanding of why God wanted the feast to continue. So now, after the Feast of First Fruits, we're entering into some call the Feast of the Harvest, the Feast of Pentecost, right? 49 days or 7 weeks, because some call this the Feast of Weeks, W-E-E-K-S, the Feast of Weeks. 7 weeks, 49 days, that they have to bring in the harvest. Now, to the listen to this real well, Jesus is crucified on a Thursday. He gets out of the grave on a Saturday, and as he gets out of the grave, right, he takes over sin. He has conquered sin, death, the grave. So again, if you go to 2 Peter 3:19, it infers, it implies, I should say, that Jesus went to hell and preached. Okay? It implies that. We're on the feast of the harvest. It implies now that Jesus went to hell and preached. And so on that Saturday, Jesus gets up, and he gets up with all power to conquer sin and the grave. Death can't hold him. Sin has no sting on him, right? And the grave now is not strong enough to keep him in or keep him down. You know, y'all gather this now. So he has the authority that he has took from Satan that Adam gave up. Whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth in order to redeem us, he had to take on a sinful nature because the keys were in hell. And he needed access to hell, and sin was the thing that gave him access to go there. So he puts on sin, and the Bible says, must I drink it with a bitter cup? So he takes on something that he did not know, something that was not in him, and he drinks of it, or he takes on our sin, right, to enter into hell, to preach, snatch the authority back from Satan that Adam gave up through disobedience, and comes out of the grave with that very power. I know it's powerful by itself, but I want to go a little bit further. So when Jesus gets up, he shows himself. Now, this is where we're getting to now. Because when he gets up, the dead now, dead people that were in the graves, that were followers, that believed in Jesus, that connected with him, or worshipers of God, that had passed on, were now getting up out of the grave and walking amongst people. That's what the word says now. What the word says. But I want to read something to you that is very interesting and lets you know where we are in this time period. And when I get to this, you'll know what I'm saying. It says we're in the book of Acts, right? Book of Acts. If you want the background for this, you can go to Leviticus chapter number 23. And so it will begin to break down the feast of the harvest, right? Leviticus chapter number 23. And you go to Exodus chapter number 13 to give you another part of the background. But we're reading now in the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. Let me give you a little history about this book before I get into it. This is the only book that does not have a conclusion to it, which makes what I'm about to read so powerful. The Act of the Apostles, when someone tells you there are no more apostles in the land and that these are titles, they are ignorant to the power of God. This is the book of the apostles, okay? And this is the only biblical text that we have, that we read, that was put in this thing we call the Bible. There are many other books. This was just put together, you know, 66 books. There were many other books. They just chose 66. But in these 66, this is the only book that did not have a conclusion to it. I want you to grab that now. Put that in your notes. Because since it doesn't have a conclusion in it, how this starts off is epic. I can't find a better word for it. So Acts chapter 1, it says, the former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus both, well, Jesus began both to do and to teach. And I have a whole record of how we should do something before we teach it. Matter of fact, as you do it, then, you know, teaching doesn't mean you write it on the wall and instruct it. Teaching means that you put their hands to it, they can feel it. When you teach a person how to plow, you don't show them on a board. You put them behind the plow and the mule. if you're going to teach them how to drive, you don't do it on a board. You got to put them behind the wheel. That's teaching. We do a lot of instructing. Don't do a lot of teaching. All right? So that's verse number one, right? Verse number two. Until the day in which he was taken up, right? After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Now, this is interesting. All right? So the only reason why we know who the apostles was is because of these writings. It was Jesus that selected them. It was Jesus that approved them, not man. Now, they did select an apostle after Judas had committed suicide, killed himself, and they selected one. They chose one over someone else, but they selected one. And they made him, he became on record the 13th apostle. But the essence is, it was the Spirit of God that determined the apostles, right? And so now listen to this now. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, right? And then it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passing by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So now he was with them 40 days. So now listen to this now. From the day that he got up, we call that the Passover. He got up on the day of the Passover. So whatever that calendar was, what was taking place in Exodus, and what God was telling them not forget, followed them all the way up to him being crucified on that Thursday, the beginning of the Passover feast, getting up on the actual Passover day, that Saturday. The next day, as he got up, he showed himself to them for 40 days. So as the feast, as they celebrated the feast of unleavened bread, no sin, Jesus was up walking. Boy, I hope y'all gather what I'm saying. Jesus was up walking when they were celebrating the feast of unleavened bread. He was there as proof that sin had been removed now. Boy. Y'all better listen to me now. And then on the next day that they would start to celebrate the Feast of the First Fruits, when he got up, they was looking at the dead, and he was showing himself to the people. He did this for 40 days, right? He did this for 40 days. He showed himself to them. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, we're talking about everything except for the kingdom of God. We're talking about going to church, pastors upset, pandemic going on, and they want to be talking about going to church. As if the building had power. But if you all remember, the day that Jesus gave up the ghost on that Thursday, because it was on a Thursday, right? That was an earthquake. The ground shook and the temple was shaken and the veil was ripped. Meaning at that moment, it was no longer the priest's responsibility to take you before God. Because Jesus now became the lamb, that sacrificial lamb that through the feast that they would have to have, the same lamb that was used for the children of Israel to be released from Egypt. Now here comes the blood of the Lamb of God, that man would no longer have to do the rituals, because now Jesus becomes the first two pieces of the feast. He is the Passover. He removed the unleavened bread. Y'all with me now? I want you to grab my, I'm not even at the peak yet. I'm just excited, so y'all excuse my excitement. Now, if we understand this clearly, right, that he shows himself, and for 40 days, he's with them. 40 days. The Feast of the Harvest starts the day after the Feast of First Fruits. Because you pick your first fruits and you give them to the priest and he waves them, they are received, and now you go about the harvest. Now, I'm really talking to some spiritual leaders here. If they're on the phone, if they're listening in, I'm really talking to you tonight. I'm talking to the ones that, whether you want to be recognized as a pastor or not, the teachers that God has in the land. I'm talking to the evangelists, the prophets and the apostles. I'm talking to all of you, right? The first fruit now has been given, and if God has received it, it is now time to bring in his harvest. What he's looking for, because he's with you in the first portion of the harvest, he's with you. He walks around and he shows you he's real. Watch it now. There's some scenes going on in people's lives that Jesus is showing himself to be real. Everybody want to listen to a word? Want to hear a word? Jesus is real. If I had to give you a word tonight during this time period, Jesus is real. You may not understand what's going on. You may have different words given to you what's going on. The only thing I want you to grab a hold of is how real Jesus is. He's in the position right now to show himself and walk with you to receive his harvest. And then he's going to do it for a certain amount of days. And then he's going to leave you be, because he got to give you something. The Spirit of the Lord is with those right now that are listening. I feel the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is with you right now, because you have made a conscious decision to do something in reference to the harvest of God. What's interesting is, God, I want y'all to grab this, is that it's roughly around the 21st, of May, somewhere around there, in which will mark 40 days from the time of April the 11th. 40 days. 40 whole days. And in those 40 days, there's a celebration going on for the harvest. That means if you are the first fruit, as I told you last week, then God receives you. He's ready for those that are connected to you in the same seal that is ripe for picking. For the harvest now. I'm not talking about harvesting things with crops. I'm talking about people, souls. Jesus showed himself to his disciples or apostles, and listen to this now,
There were those that didn't believe he was alive, but yet walked with him. Yet talked with him. Seeing him feed 5,000. Watched him do this. One watched him walk on water. Some heard him calm the storm and the seas. There were those that were present when the woman with the issue of blood was healed. Wasn't like they didn't know who he was, but now he shows himself. He has the nail prints, and he has the scars on his forehead, you know, but he is now flesh and bone. Not blood. Try to grab a hold of this. This is the time for the harvest. And here's the key. How do we harvest? How do we harvest the people that God is looking for? He's chosen. He chose you. So he sets in you an indicator called the Spirit of God that you now have to, in a little while now, you're going to have to pull yourself away and let God prepare you for the harvest. Got to bring it in. You have to get the people ready that are around you to gather up the harvest. You have to have, back then it was a wagon big enough to put the wheat on top of and bring it in. And once you bring the wheat to where it's going to be broken down and made into other sorts of things, you got to go back out there and get more for the harvest. If you get what I'm saying, it's not you being in a building waiting for them to come to you. It's you going to where they are. It's not about a church. It ain't about that. It ain't about the musicians. It ain't about a worship song. It ain't about the welcome address. It ain't about that. And when you're going to picking wheat, you're grabbing everything. You don't need to separate what's wrong with the wheat. Just grab everything. When it gets to the place where it needs to be processed, they'll throw away what they're supposed to be there because they have the authority to do that. If you're the one getting the harvest, you got to get out in the field. But some of us have grown accustomed to the building and want the people gone to us. You go. Prime example. The disciples, the people follow Jesus out and they're hungry. And disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, these people followed you out here and they're hungry. Jesus turns around and says, you feed them. And they look at, well, we only have fish, you know, 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. Jesus said, you feed them. Isn't it crazy how folk don't walk with Christ this long and still haven't figured it out? So he takes what they have, and some call it a little lad's lunch, and he blesses it, and they feed 5,000 with food left over with what he blessed. So it ain't the lot. It's that little that we put into God's hands. If we are the leaders, he blesses it, and it allows us to feed more and have some left over. See, that was a message to the leadership, not the people. This here is a message to the leadership, not the people. God is looking for. He accepted you as his first fruit. Where's the harvest now? Just because God has received you for who you are and he's given you a gift and he's prepared you doesn't mean now you have more authority, more power than anybody else. It means that now you've agreed to be a servant. And you have to go into the fields now. You have to. How can you send people into the fields if you're not out there? You have to go in the field. Take your tie off. Take the clergy collar off. Take the clergy collar off. Take the clergy collar off. Take the suit off. Put you some blue jeans on that got holes in them. Go down here amongst the fields that you came out of. This is God's harvest. This is not yours. This is God's harvest. So let me read a little bit more. There's some key points here. This is verse number 4, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the purpose, for the promise, I'm sorry, of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, I really wanted to stay around verse number 4 for a minute. And it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem means peace, right? Did y'all get that? He's telling the leaders now, don't you depart from peace. I need you to stay in a peaceful spirit right now. That's a fruit. I need you to stay in a peaceful spirit. Do not leave there regardless of what's going on with you. I want you to be at peace around you, not mass hysteria. I know we got something going on. It seems like some people act like they don't care. I believe there are some folks in peace right now, and you cannot remove them from that peace. And now if you, and he said that now, that he should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. Some say the Holy Spirit, in not many days hence. Right? So 40 days, Jesus is walking with them. He's talking with them. And he doesn't want them to leave Jerusalem. Do not run away because of what's going on. Not dealing with religious people, you know, because he had to deal with them about being religious. Do not leave where you are. When they therefore were together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Jerusalem, kingdom of Israel? Now, I want y'all to grab hold of this now. He wants to show them the kingdom of God pertaining. He wants to show them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They're concerned about the kingdom of Israel. That make the, y'all grab that. He wants to show them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They want to know about the kingdom of Israel. These are the leaders now. There's not nobody else but the leaders. They want to know about the kingdom of Israel. And watch what Jesus said. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Right? So Jesus told them, that ain't your business. Can I put it in a very nice, well, it ain't really nice. Can I say it to you in a manner which I think you'll get it? You're asking Jesus a question, that is not your business. In other words, I ain't telling you that.
What troubles me in this hour, we have pastors talking about the sign of the Antichrist, or this is a glimpse of the Antichrist, of what we're going through right now, or this is the end times, as I've heard so many people say. The end times started when Jesus got up. That's when the end times started. You know, when Jesus got up, time started coming to an end then. But now he told them, "Don't, that ain't your business. Why are you worried about that?" And he tells them in Matthew, before we get here, that, you know, all this stuff that's going on, these are growing pains. This ain't the end. These are not the end times, as we were thinking. Matter of fact, I don't even want you worried about that. But we, you know, leaders like to talk about, well, what's the end time? How do you know what this is? If Jesus said it ain't none of your business, he ain't told you. So how can pastors that say they know this word and they believe what this word say come to you, post, write, go on television, Facebook Live, and say this is the end time? Meaning that they're trying to say this is the end of the world is coming. Well, eventually it's going to come. This ain't the end times. At the end of the world, no one knows when that is. And if you know what, well, that means Jesus told a lie. He don't lie. I want y'all to hear me now. You know, and even you look at the chronological clock and you start studying the things that happen around there, you are in another time zone. I mean, you're way in another feast, because now we're going back into the Day of Atonement. And that's way down the road. We don't talk about it. We ain't talking about today. There are no signs of the Antichrist. Good God hadn't revealed that. What he's telling the disciples, I want you to grab here in a few minutes, because he caught them. Now remember that Jesus is around them 40 days. And he says, and grab this now, because then I'm going to go into another part of this, which is just too good. And when he had spoken these things, while they behold, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing, looking into heaven? The same Jesus which you see taken up from you unto heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Oh, and I'm through reading that. I won't get into the other part until later on. But that 40, he stayed around them for 40 days from the time that he got up until the time he ascended. For 40 days. For 40 days now, the harvest was going on. And Jesus had received unto him, and the people that were with him disappeared when he was taken up. They didn't see him no more. For 40 days now. And now afterwards, they looking up in the sky like, oh. I used to tell people all the time, man, why are you gazing? Why are you daydreaming about this? You got work to do. This is harvest time. And I'm talking to leaders. Now, when I say leaders, and when I say leaders and pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, you know, whatever order you want to put them in. When I say leaders, you know, those are just governmental gifts. That's all they are. They're governmental gifts. They are gifts, but they're governmental. There are so many other things that God has placed us, positions that he has placed us in, that we have, watch this word now, it's going to come back to haunt you, influence. And we're trying to do things in areas that God didn't give us influence in. Your harvest is in the area that God has given you influence. Now, I know I'm gonna take you for a trip now. I want you to hear what I got to say. Remember now, you're the first fruits. You have a harvest. And you're walking with God. He changes your life because you decided to follow him. You decided to, I'm going to follow Jesus. You made that decision. And because you made that decision, it wasn't just about your life. But watch it now. It did not mean go grab this biblical text and throw it at people. It's not what it meant. Nowhere in here did the apostles or the prophets, disciples, any of these guys have a book that they walked around with to throw at people. They didn't quote letters of scriptures to folks. What they did was they decided to live a certain life. I want y'all to hear me now. Where God has delivered you from, he's prepared you if you stay in the place of peace. He has a peace that surpasses all understanding. If you stay in the place that he has placed, that he has put you, and that you are at peace. Notice now, the feast of the first fruits is when you get to the land that he has promised you. Because Jesus is all about delivering the promise that is that he made, that his father made. I'm delivering the promise the father made. And so now you in the place that he has sent you. And you are the first fruit there. Meaning that you have influence because of how they've seen your life change and what they see God do through you. The Spirit of the Lord has unlocked doors for you to walk in, because in this harvest, you have to have something to harvest. You didn't plant the seed. The seed has already been planted. You just have to go receive the harvest. Bring this harvest back to God. I saw somebody post something the other day on Facebook, and they was talking about, you know, pastors shouldn't see people as a commodity, money. And somebody replied in there, they should. They said, because without money, you can't do anything. You know, what can you do in order to facilitate or to have things or to bring people in without money? And you need that money and you need the people. Now, I totally disagree with that. Because now you're counting folks as a commodity. That's what you're doing. And based upon, you'll start now evaluating people of who has what job. And I've heard some people say now that, you know, you got to have a church with some folks that are doing good because they are givers. And so when they give and they're making a lot of money, it takes a lot of pressure off the pastor, you know, when it comes to the things that are needed in church. I understand the concept, totally disagree. Because now you're holding a facility up for people and you're tasking them to pay for it. When God built something, he gave the instructions and he gave the material. I know we live in this present time. And if you really want something, it's going to take money. The Bible said money answereth all things. Said it's answered all things. But if you love it, it could be evil. So what is my point? Because I know a lot of pastors probably listen to this and saying, boy, you crazy. I am. I've totally lost my mind for God. There's nothing that you can tell me that God won't do. And as much as we want folks to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of God. We stress it because we ain't got money to pay the mortgage on the church. We stress it because folks ain't giving enough. And then we come up with these schemes to run in the church, and we take gullible people and we twist and turn the word of God so to make people feel guilty, and they will give, and then they think giving now puts them in a better light before God. God ain't interested in money. He owns everything. Why would he be interested in money? God is interested in souls. God loves people. So we should be people. We should love people. And we should not categorize people in the process of doing this, because we now are in the midst of a harvest. We are in the midst of a harvest. We don't need to bring worldly music so we can bring the young folks. That ain't what the deal is. Some of the music we sang in the place that we call church, might as well change the name of church to a nightclub. Same thing. You know, and I'm not being over religious, because I don't really need the building. The building can't hold the body of Christ. So where are we right now, and are we waiting on the promise? This is the feast of the harvest. God didn't ask you to do anything because you don't have the ability to plant seed like that. Only he does. What he's given us the opportunity to do is bring in his harvest. We've always in biblically been referenced to wheat. And they take the wheat, and I don't know the real process, but I know it can be grounded up into a very powdery substance that we call powder. And they add water, some other things to that, and bake it. It becomes bread. So God is harvesting us to break us down and process us to go in the fire and to come out as bread, bread of heaven. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at this is that God is jealous. And when our agenda becomes greater than bringing in the harvest, we're neglecting what God has asked of us to do. And if you neglect what God is asking you to do, that's disobedience. Watch it. To him, that is a sin. Grab a hold of this now. I'm about to say something that, because the feast of weeks, or the feast of the harvest, or the feast of Pentecost, is going to go on up until roughly around the 30th of May. 49 days from the time that Jesus got up. It was after the 40th day they went into the upper room of Jerusalem. And it was the day of Pentecost that they were able to receive what Jesus had promised them. But the key element here is that those that believed have spiritually come together in peace. There was no arguing. Who had time to talk to a believer and tell them or try to convince them that Jesus is real? If they didn't see him when he walked, they wasn't going to believe. But he showed himself. Even Mary went to the tomb, and they told her, he's gone. He's no longer here. As if he just got him walked out. He'll be back in a minute. Not like that. But he's gone. Now he's no longer your son. Dear hearts, I'm putting some thoughts in your mind here. Because in the beginning of 3 weeks ago, I told you, it was 4 weeks ago, God said, don't forget the feast. See, we are embarking upon a season that looks somewhat similar to the children of Israel being exited out of Egypt, being delivered, being set free. That reflects the very presence of Jesus going to the cross, getting up and showing himself before the disciples that walked with him for 40 days. For 40 days he showed himself, and the harvest during that time period was being picked. They were still harvesting their crops. How is it during this time period that we're still here? But are we harvesting God's people? We focus so much on the ritual, watch it now, the rituals of going to church. You can go to the building, but you are the church. We make excuses for our lapse of judgment, our ignorance at the same time. But we don't do the necessary things in order to correct them. What I love about this right here is that some of us forgot what happens after what you call Easter or the Passover. And that was good. I was then waiting for next year. There is still work to do. And if you have not witnessed a miracle during this time period, you ain't went to God and told him what you needed. Now is that time. Now is that time to wipe the tears from your eyes, stand up, strengthen yourself, straighten your back out. Whether you do it on your knees or standing or laying on the floor with your hands lifted up in heaven, however you want to do it, but I guarantee you, as you hear my voice today, if you make this decision to give a cry out to God, he is going to answer your prayer. He will do it in a manner that will blow your mind. Dear hearts, I love you. We're going to be on the feast of the harvest up until the end of May. There's a reason for it. Because there are a lot of things we have to do within the harvest. There's biblical texts in here about the harvest. There are things that the apostles had to do when they was taken away or when they went away for themselves about the harvest. And we now have to prepare ourselves for it. There's a harvest out here for Jesus. Anybody wants to go get it? Who's with him now to go into the fields? You leaders, come out of the pulpits. Take the suits off. Take the alligator shoes on so fresh they're snapping. To remove the Armani suits, put on some blue jeans and some work boots and something and go out in the street where they are. How many ready to receive the harvest? How many ready to load them up and bring them to God? This is harvest time. Amen. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God. Lord, I appreciate you, O Lord. It's harvest time for you. It's not about no money. This is harvest time, Father. And Lord, you've made us responsible for it. And Lord, that's all I want to bring you. It's what you desire. So, Father, I pray, God, that everyone that hears this, there's a quickening in their spirit, O Lord, that they position themselves to harvest your people. And as they move, O Lord, you prepare them. You endorse them, Father. You give them influence, O Lord, in the areas in which you have made them better. We bless you, O God. And Father, we know you're a healing God. You're an all-powerful God. And God, you are the God of this earth, of this world. And Father, we thank you, O God, for keeping us safe out of this pandemic. We pray, God, that you with the families, O God, that had to endure loss. Comfort them, O Lord. For the many pastors and leaders, O God, over all of these great churches and things of that nature, organizations, laymen, political people, O God, I ask prayer for all of them. And I put them before you because they are in the harvest. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, it's the end. It's my time. It's over for this week. I want you to be ready. Go back and read your Bibles, and I want you to be familiar with what this is. This is the harvest. This is the time at which God needs you. He has employed you. The Spirit of the Lord is about to come out in a way, I believe, that is going to do something miraculous in your life because you asked God for it during this time period of need in this harvest. Peace of the harvest, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you all until next Thursday. Amen.